North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, joined not by Chris Bessler this morning. Chris is on vacation, missing this wonderful weather that we're having. And he doesn't have to do any shoveling at his place, I suppose. I think he's enjoying the warm weather someplace else. But knowing Chris, he's actually probably missing out a little bit because he's a fan of winter sport. So if he's out there, Chris, we're having great snow back here, and it's only a little bit windy. I'm also in the studio with two reporters for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Eric Welch has been here before, of course, and we're joined by Chloe Cochran, the newest staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Eric. Good
morning.
And good morning, Chloe.
Good morning.
Thank you both very much for being here this morning, and we'll talk about the news a little bit. I'll start at the state level. We're still hoping to get somebody from either Boise or somebody who's paying close attention to the state legislature to come in and kind of give us a brief here on these airwaves of what the legislature's up to during the session. But right now I can say, as far as what's been passing, the House passed House Bill 37, which makes the firing squad the main execution method. Only 11 votes opposed to that bill. It goes now to the Senate, so that would be a change, that's for sure. The House passed a bill also calling for a $300 mandatory minimum fine for the possession of marijuana. That passed along party lines 54-14 and also goes now to the Senate. Here in Bonner County, well, the Bonner County Ambulance Service District Commissioners met Wednesday to examine the EMS budget updates. This after last year's budget shortfall and emergency loan granted by Bonner County to fill us in, I guess, on the budget that is coming ahead for 2025 and into January 2026. Also in the county, the commissioners at a rather quiet meeting on the Bonner County Commission, they voted to approve a professional service agreement to negotiate services for acquisition regarding the Spirit Lake Cutoff Curves Safety Project. So road construction and road changes out on the Spirit Lake Cutoff Road. In the city of Sandpoint, another kind of quiet business meeting for the city council. No new or old business this week. But the staff did give updates on the fire planning and the Russell Sports Center. All of those items had briefs at the city council meeting this week. The city parking plan, which continues to attract a great deal of attention and conversation in town. The changes to the city parking plan, we devoted most of the show last week talking about proposed changes to city parking. The Planning and Zoning Commission met again on February 4th, and now there's some updates to that plan, which still has not gone to City Council. This is still in the planning stages, but right now the plan that the Planning and Zoning Commission is proposing includes a time increase for the free parking per visit for city residents with an annual pass, for moving from, I think, the proposed 2 hours to 3 hours at all city lots, except for City Beach, where residents would receive 4 free hours, and then increased rates for the proposed passes were also discussed. Here in the city of Sandpoint, too, Averill Hospitality, which is in the process of actually not renovating, but creating a new hotel in the current position of the Edgewater Hotel down by City Beach, there was a bit of social media controversy when they posted some condos on for sale on Zillow at the hotel that is yet to be built and construction's yet to begin. Of course, the hotel is not approved as a condo, at least not yet, for condos. It's approved only as a hotel. So that those posts were taken off of the internet before any movement was made there, but not before they prompted a social media reaction. So Averill has maybe a slightly different plan in mind than we had understood until now, and it does look like that plan continues to change a little bit. And the city is also hosting some wastewater treatment open houses. I suppose the first one was yesterday, and city staff is educating members of the public about wastewater treatment and the replacement initiatives progress, or the every other Thursday through February and March from noon to 1 p.m. So the first one was yesterday. I guess the next one's on the 20th of February, from noon to 1 p.m. in council chambers at City Hall at 1123 Lake Street. And last but not least, some school news. Lake Pend Oreille School District and the high school are planning some interesting possible changes to some of their attendance and hall pass, technology, I guess. And maybe that's a good enough place to start. Eric, you've been covering the school district. Do you want to tell us what they have in mind? What's going to change at Sandpoint High School?
Yeah. So it, like you said, it's specific to SHS for these changes just happening at the high school. And the kind of the major change, I think, is that staff and administrators are looking to implement this digital hall pass system to replace the old physical hall passes that the school used to have. And this kind of coincides with the new semester rolling over. I think it was a week or two that students kind of started the new semester, and that's where these changes are coming in. And kind of the gist of the digital hall pass is that in the past, students have taken a physical card on a lanyard out of the classroom if they need to, you know, go to the bathroom or visit somewhere else during instructional time. Mm-hmm. And this new pass would work through their school-issued laptops that they have, and it would essentially allow them to check out a pass during class time, leave the classroom, and then while they're out there, the administrators, the teacher, and the police officers at the school would be able to have a live list of who is kind of authorized to be out of the classroom and where they're supposed to be. So it provides a little more information, I think, to administrators and to staff compared to just somebody carrying a physical pass. And that's, as far as I understand it, the goal in speaking with some of the administrators at SHS is to address what they call in-school truancy, meaning that kids who are, you know, essentially they're in school, but they're not in class. And so they're trying to make sure that, you know, while kids are in school, they're also in class and learning.
I see. Yes. That was one of my great tricks in high school, the in-school truancy. That's interesting. So I was going to say, like, what's, I guess you've pretty much explained the point of this. I was thinking, is this maybe a little bit too, you know, is this just technology for technology's sake? But I guess it is, they've justified it to some extent here that it gets, so everybody the administration, everybody who would be in charge of kind of monitoring the goings on in the school would know right away, would just have like a live list. These people are allowed to be out of the class and these people aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they would be able to have an app maybe on their smartphone or on the district computers that would allow them to, essentially see a live list of who is able to be outside of class. And one thing that the administrators really mentioned is that for most students at the school, it's not a problem. The current system, they've said it's fine. They're able to just use the physical pass, go where they need to go, and then come back to class. But that this will just allow them to address the students who, you know, are maybe abusing the current system or kind of need a little bit of extra accountability, I think is kind of the way they've described it. And they've said that, you know, that I guess it's hopefully going to also provide a little bit more safety in knowing where kids are at, is what they've said. But a couple of days ago, they hosted a little bit of like an information session for parents and, I guess, stakeholders, you would say, to kind of come in and to share some information. And during that session, some parents were saying that, you know, well, if this is something that a majority of students aren't having a problem with, is it worth it to, you know, roll this out and have the school pay for it and do all this just to address kind of a subset of the population? And they also listed some concerns maybe about like data exposure for students having this, you know, third party, I guess, company having access. And, you know, this also they mentioned maybe students having a feeling of surveillance or feeling like there's some distrust maybe.
I can see that.
That could potentially, you know, affect them in that way. And so the plan was to have this go out on February 10th. And the last thing that I heard, at least at that informational session, is that administrators may be kind of taking a little bit more time to assess whether the current plan is the way to go forward. So we might not see that go out on February 10th, but that they're going to talk with their IT staff and create a plan going forward.
Be interesting to hear from some of the students how they feel about this.
Yeah. I can say, I guess, anecdotally, I mean, I haven't surveyed students or anything by any means, but students I've talked to, I think the current system, I guess, is working fine and aren't in favor of the digital hall pass.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is not a system that Sandpoint's inventing. I'm guessing this is in widespread use elsewhere or something.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even they mentioned during the meeting that Clark Fork High School, just across the north areas of the lake there, is currently using this. So it's something, I guess, that is as a very nearby example also of being used.
Okay. Well, Chloe, you're covering the county now.
Yeah.
Usually one of the most exciting beats in town, I think, or in the area. But this week anyway, it was pretty quiet at the county commission.
Yeah, when I started this position, everyone kind of maybe warned isn't the best word, but I'm going to go with it. Kind of warned me that it could be kind of heated. And this last weekend, went to the meeting. It was an hour and a half long. Everyone's laughing, you know, talking. It was a great time. So it's really cool to see that shift. And unfortunately, I'm kind of one for the drama. So I'm like, oh, darn, I missed it. But at the same time, obviously, like, I want our community to thrive. So it's great to see that and have commissioners that all get along and enjoy what they're doing and are doing it for the community.
What happened this week? The big news was the Spirit Lake cutoff road construction?
Yeah, I would say that is probably one of the bigger things. I don't know how familiar you are with the road. I wasn't too familiar until I looked it up on Google Maps.
Yeah, not really my neck of the woods. I know where it is. But
yeah, so there's actually quite a few sharp turns to 90 degrees. And then I think they said one was just over, just under 90 degrees. So obviously that causes some concern with just people driving too fast, maybe. It's 45 miles per hour. So, you know, you get people that think, oh, I can take it. I've been here forever. And then, you know, they hit ice and, you know, so there's been fatalities and other issues come up. So what we talked about this past week was just passing along, I think, grants or funds in order to realign that road so it's safer. And it sounds like the community's kind of 50-50 on it. Partially they think it's great. The other part thinks, oh, we should just get more police officers down there. Which no matter what, you're going to be spending money to make it safe. So you got to pick your poison, I guess.
Okay. Spirit Lake Cutoff Road. That's the big thing. And then I think you, in your kind of brief in the B this week, you mentioned they're trying to spread the word about open board positions. That was another topic of conversation.
So I'm trying to think.
I'll try
a couple
and pull
weeks
it up
ago. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Short term memory loss. But yeah, so a couple weeks ago, or even a couple months ago, there was a fair board open position, and it was actually posted twice in order to kind of get the right candidates to apply. And what the board is realizing is, when you open the position once, not many people are going to apply because everyone's kind of like, oh, they have their people. So you don't really get the results you want. So what they've realized is, okay, well, let's post it twice and then kind of tell people like, hey, this is what we're looking for. This is the district that we're wanting represented. If you think you apply and if you want to be a part of this, please sign up. So that was kind of a big thing, is just getting the word out there and saying, we do have open positions. Please don't hesitate to apply.
And it looks like we've got current committee positions open for Bonner County Solid Waste Advisory Committee.
Yes.
Okay. That'd be a fun one, I imagine. Yes, the Bonner County Solid Waste Advisory Committee, there are positions open there. It's a real problem to handle, as we know, especially here in the city. The solid waste disposal is it's no laughing matter. So those positions are open, and I guess you can find them through the county website. Let's see. The city's been, I guess, a little bit more, maybe not active, but a little bit more interest focused on what's going on at the city. Eric, especially the parking plan changes, looks like they're kind of adapting to public comment a little bit. From what I understand, our conversation last week with Mr. Hagedon of the Reader, it doesn't sound like there's a great deal of opposition to the concept of paid parking. Everybody seems to kind of understand and agree that, parking rates should be implemented, but the question is where and how much and who pays it, I guess. So new this week, changed from from what you may have heard last week, the Planning and Zoning Commission met again, and now they are talking about increasing the amount of time and also increasing the cost of the passes, if I understand that correctly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And those changes, you know, like you said, this has been something that a lot of community members have been providing feedback on, whether that's going to these planning and zoning meetings or sending an email or a phone call, you know, to the city staff. I think planning director Jason Welker said that since he's been in the position, which has been about a year now, he said this has been the single topic that he's received the most feedback for. And I think that, you know, it's January 21st that The initial plan was kind of presented to the public at that planning and zoning meeting. And what Welker said in the most recent P&Z meeting was that the most common feedback was that city residents wanted to see an increase in the amount of time that they received to park free at City Beach specifically. Mm-hmm. I think that City Beach, you know, a lot of people were mentioning is kind of one of the few amenities or, you know, attractions that Sandpoint has that, you know, are still really accessible and low cost, and that they wanted to kind of see it remain that way. And so, one of those changes was with that annual pass to bump up that free period from 2 hours to 4 hours to give people more time at City Beach. And also, you know, a change of $10 and $20 for an annual pass for residents, I should say city residents and non-residents. And then that was bumped up to $15 and $30. Mm-hmm. And another thing that a lot of people had provided feedback on was that they wanted to see a significant discount for city residents or even county residents compared to maybe people coming in out of state, you know, during kind of the summer months. And one thing that city staff mentioned was that based on federal regulations for, I think it's a park and waterway grant or or some sort of kind of federal money that they receive, they're prevented from giving a greater than 50% discount to any one particular group compared to another. So I think, you know, Welker even mentioned, I would also love to see, you know, city residents or even county residents receive a more significant discount, but that it's not possible.
Right. Well, yeah, I can understand the moving from 2 to 3 hours. I was kind of thinking about when it was proposed at 2 hours, I was thinking that's not very long to be at City Beach, you know, by the time you, I mean, for one thing, you got to take a lap around to find the best spot, but then you park and then, you know, move everything down to the beach and then pack up, especially if you've got kids, then, you know, it takes a minute. But yeah, it looks like they're continuing to fine tune that, that proposal. City parking, the Russell Center, Jason Welker also gave a brief on that too. Kind of what's new over there. I think you had that story, Eric. They're not yet in the, what's the phrase? They're not yet in the black as far as being able to cover the bill for the building yet, but the construction was paid for by a grant from the James E. Russell family, and now the city has to basically cover the operations out of the revenue that they can generate using the building, and they're not yet at that point.
That's right. And so the center opened for play in early December, I want to say. So now it's been almost 2 months, I guess, with the building operating. And yeah, based on the kind of update provided to counselors just on Wednesday, it was by, Director Welker. He had said that there's kind of been a good amount of memberships sold. I think around 190 was the number in the first month, and that there's been a kind of a little bit of a snafu with a switch from one software to the other that city staff had hoped would already have taken place by now, but there's some delays going on with it. So they're trying to migrate members from one platform to another, I think, as I understand it. So that's kind of made memberships dip. And I think he mentioned that, the city has budgeted for memberships and for fees generated by users to cover the operating cost of this building. Construction was covered by that $7.5 million gift, but it needs to be self-sustaining. And he says that it's not there yet, but that, you know, these projects, I think he said, tend to take a little time to get off the ground, and that in the long term that it should, I guess, cover itself.
Yeah. That's kind of my neighborhood, and it does seem like it's well used already. I mean, you know, getting the people are showing up and playing pickleball and tennis, you know. Is that, you guys play pickleball?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not. I'm not that good, but I'm pretty competitive.
Okay.
So my boyfriend and I will go out and play, and I think I can beat him, and I never do. Mm-hmm. And it always ends with us like not talking for a solid like 15 minutes.
Well, unless I missed anything big, and you guys can tell me if I did, if there were any headlines that you think you wanted to talk about further. The wastewater treatment plant, of course, is still going to be, I think that's going to be the big topic of conversation at the city, but I don't know if there's any news on that front right now, but that's probably going to define the year as far as what the city's up to.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd I would be think my so. Guess. Yeah. You mentioned those public information sessions or open houses that are being hosted at City Hall there.
Mm-hmm.
City staff and officials have emphasized that they want to, you know, help educate people about, I guess, even the process of wastewater treatment itself, but then also the plan going forward for replacing Sandpoint's infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And so those are going to be available to the public. I think there's plenty of materials also on the city's website kind of about the plan and where they are in kind of the progress of that. And currently they're working on the preliminary engineering report. So still to be done is design, funding, and eventual construction.
Mm-hmm.
We're several years away, definitely, from a completed wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah. Speaking of the city website, I think the mayor at the last meeting advised the citizens to check the website for updates, especially on that parking plan. And is it a new policy that the city staff is not to kind of engage in the social media conversation? Is that official, or is that just a kind of a guideline from the...
Yeah, it was just something that the mayor mentioned during the most recent council meeting. I think that, both the mayor and Director Welker have kind of mentioned that there's a lot of misinformation or partially correct information available on social media right now surrounding the parking situation, have just encouraged people interested to go to the primary source, to the website, and look at the information that's included in the agenda packets and maybe posted elsewhere there too. And I would say you can also read the Daily Bee.
You sure can. And there was one line, I don't have it in front of me, but basically city staff is not going to be moderating social media conversations on these subjects.
That was just, there was no vote, put forth or anything really official, but I think it was, the mayor kind of informing people that that's what he had advised city staff to do.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess. Here's an interesting item from the January 21st Daily Bee. New County Courts Reporter Joins the Daily Bee by Chloe Cochran. Well, hi, Chloe.
Hi.
In our last couple minutes here, this is your first time on the airwaves, and you've only been in town, I guess, working at the Bee for a couple weeks.
Yeah, this will be the end of my third week.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
What? what should I ask you? What's your favorite story that you've worked on so far in these three weeks?
I will probably say it was confusing, but the Trestle Creek story that I wrote about. Oh, I'm so going to mess this up.
It was denied, right?
And I actually found the issue through Facebook because that's typically where I get a lot of my information because the community is very passionate about a lot of things. And so I went to that meeting and the zone change got denied. They wanted to allegedly put storage units or storage facility on the lot, but it ended up impacting quite a few residents. And so seeing that kind of get denied, of course, you always have to be in the middle, not really have an opinion, but it was great to see those residents just happy and smiling. I mean, this is something that's been going on for years. So to see that their lives wouldn't be impacted by this storage facility or the extra foot traffic throughout their property. I mean, it was very wholesome, and so I learned a lot and loved getting to ride.
That is interesting. I think, well, there's been a lot of kind of proposed changes and developments over in that Trestle Creek area. This is one that will not be moving forward, at least doesn't look like it right now. In our last, we're already at 8:30 here, but in our last, I guess, minute, where'd you come from? What brought you to Sandpoint? What can you say?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Washington State, Colville, Washington. Mm-hmm. Some people know where that is, some people don't. Very similar to here. So I went to school in Virginia, moved to Oklahoma for a little while.
What brought you to Oklahoma?
I applied for this job that I had no intention of getting or taking, and ultimately I got the job, fell in love with the people that I worked with in the community. So I moved out there and had the time of my life. It was actually great. And then family brought us back over to this area, and Sandpoint has, you know, it has a lot of recreational things to do, hiking, fishing, the huge lake. So that kind of really brought us here, and just the small town community.
Yeah. And the opening at the Daily Bee.
Yeah.
Okay. You were in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Where I've never been, but I've heard wonderful things.
Yeah, I mean, you say Oklahoma and everyone thinks it's dirt and country music, and that is mostly true, but there's a lot of good things and a lot of genuine people that come from there.
Yes. Wasn't quite to your taste. You came back to the Northwest.
I have a sister who lives over there, so it's great to have that family, but ultimately life's too short, so we just wanted to be closer to family and kind of spend as much time as we could with them.
Yes. Well, perfect. Sorry, I'm just getting ready here to move on to our next program. Well, we're glad to have you here, Chloe. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to, hearing your, reading your reporting on what's going on in the, particularly in the county and the courts. We'll see how long the calm remains at the Bonner County Commission. It would be kind of a first in my experience here that if the county commission does, you know, remain relatively untroubled by some, some political business or other.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. But with that, we're going to continue on with our regularly scheduled programming. It's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix. Bird Note comes on at 9 o'clock. And until then, we'll get back to it. Eric Welch, Chloe Cochran for the Bonner County Daily Bee, which is on newsstands every day except Monday.
Monday.
I knew there was one Monday. Thanks again so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Talk to you again soon. Okay.